Friday sermon and message and service right now. We thank everyone for tuning in. For those who are listening live, courtesy of Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications, and of course, I am Pastor Jay Rouse, and today's sermon is entitled Cut Down. My. I also want to wish everyone a good blessed Easter weekend. We've had an amazing Holy Week. I'm hoping everybody got a chance to listen to not just our Holy Week sermons and services, but you were able to attend somewhere at a church, praise God, and get filled up. We need to fuel up and fill up so we can get things right, because today is the day when we remember the sacrifice. My. I want to also give a shout out to our True Light Radio family and all our listeners, our faithful, dedicated listeners, and our new listeners, praise God. And we hope that today finds you well and truly blessed. I also want to say good morning to my mom, who is here live in studio listening in, praise God, and to my family and friends, praise God. We're going to keep things moving. We will get a little bit prayed up and a little bit worshipped up, because we need to make sure we're in the right spirit. This is Fill Me Up by KCJ, and we'll be back with prayer.
Fire, how overflow in my heart and permeate all my
Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we can't begin to say thank you, because thank you would never say it all. The sacrifice that you made and the sacrifice that we failed to make is nothing in comparison. But this day, Father God, as so many seek you, so many need you, and so many want you, and so many reach out to you, we extend our hands in prayer. We open our ears this day, Father God, to hear from you. We open our hearts this day, Father God, to become a part of you. And we open our eyes, Father God, so that we can see more of you. And now we open our mouths to be able to share and proclaim this day that when the Lord said, "You will be with me this day in paradise," we can not only proclaim it, we can not only be assured of it, but we can also know that we can trust in it. So, Father, as we hear your words and feel your spirit take over, we ask for a revival this day. Revival in our own lives. Revival in our churches. And revival in the body known as Christ. As we prepare for another day of coming, not just for a day of rising up, but a day of full conquership. But for now, we ask that you be ever present. Look to us now. Hear us now. We speak to every minister right now that is giving a word to Father God, it would go forth and not come back void. It is written. And so we leave it and believe it. We trust it. And we will receive it. Now and evermore. In Jesus' name. Amen. Because only He is holy. Donnie McClurkin.
And He instructs us to be holy as He is holy. Not the form of godliness, but be holy as He is holy. church one Sunday, Pastor Anna, and the Lord gave me a song. And I don't get many songs like that in the middle of service. But then it just started to roll out. And I started singing, only you are holy. Only you are worthy. Only you are wonderful. For there's no one else like you, who is faithful ever true. Oh, my love, my heart, my life is a testimony. Only to everybody join us.
Only you are holy.
Only you are worthy,
Jesus. Only you are worthy.
Only you are wonderful, Lord.
Only you are wonderful.
Only you are worthy, Lord.
Only you are worthy.
Only you are wonderful, Lord.
Only you are wonderful.
For there's no one else like you.
For there's no one else like you.
All right, let us take a look at the Word of God. Now, I've got to apologize to some of you who are scholars in the Word of God, praise God, and I'm not mad at you, praise God. I think that's wonderful. But for those who are not so versed in God's Word, I want to give a little bit of a background what led up to today. So we're going to take a quick look at the Gospel according to Luke. We're going to look at chapter 23, Luke 23, and then we will read our key scripture for today and then hear what thus saith the Lord. Amen. Now, for those of you, as I said, who have listened to the Holy Week services, the seven last words of Christ, you will recognize this is one of the books that talks about the seven last words. For those who have missed it, it will be on again on Saturday. You can listen in on True Light Radio at 3 p.m. South African time, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard, 8 a.m. Central Standard Time, and 2 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, UK time. And we will also be reposting the live edition where we put together on the Pastor Jay Rouse Show the rendition of all the seven key words according to myself, Pastor Jay Rouse. But for now, we're going to read very quickly. So for those of you following along, I do apologize, but I'm going to go through this very quickly because I want to give a bit of background of what has led up and how today became the day that it is. It is Good Friday, and as good as it is for us, the Christians, I always say it was not a very good Friday for him. We've always talked about having a bad work day or a bad Friday, or we always say, thank God it's Friday. This is not exactly how anyone would ever want their Friday to go, but Jesus did it just for us. Amen? All right, I'm going to begin reading. Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee, and has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased because for a long time, he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." But the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man. Release Barabbas to us." Now, Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection of the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time, he spoke to them, Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him. But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, and the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. My, my, my. And we continue at verse 26. As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children, for the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountain, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' People do these things when the tree is green. What will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last breath. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness the sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. My, my, my. And our key scripture for today is found in the book of Psalms, Psalms 1. It says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on him day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff, and the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Let us prepare to hear from God. This is Because of You by Linda Clark.
To do it, but you did.
because of him, Father God, let the words of my mouth be pleasing in thy ears, and thy words give authority and power. But more importantly, Father, let them be your words and not mine. Hide me behind your cross. Use me, mold me, and make me. Come forth now, Holy Spirit. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Now you'll notice in Psalm 1, although it's something to meditate on, and we heard the treatment that Jesus had, and I could not fathom why the Lord would give me the title cut down, because I thought, what in the world would a tree have to do with Good Friday? And then I had to trust. One of the hardest things we as Christians have to do. But I know that without the Lord, there is no word. Amen. Praise God. And so I was led to these scriptures. But you'll notice when I read in Psalm 1, because it talks about how you need to be. Because blessed is the one who does not walk amongst the wicked and in the way of sin and in the company of mockers. And I realized it described a great deal of the people that Jesus was around at the time that he chose and decided that despite it all, I'm going to continue to walk upright. And the only time he was heavy laden at this particular time, because we know as I've just completing my Lent season, that we know that Jesus was tempted times to speak to Father God, to ask him to not only lead him out of temptation, but to take this cup from him. The same cup that he had to drink from and quenched and thirst for later on. And maybe that's why the cup was not the cup of what he wanted to drink. Amen. He needed living water, holy water. Praise God. And so we know that he went to the garden, and those around him who were supposed to keep watch and pray with him, well, we know they fell asleep. Amen. Praise God. And sometimes what is for you is not for those around you. But we know the next time we saw him heavy laden, despite the fact that he was beaten and scorned and abused and mocked and just treated so horribly, the only time he fell to the ground again was from the weight of the cross that he bared. And we as Christians always talk about everybody has their cross to bear. And when we cannot carry that burden and the cross that we bear, it will usually bring us back down to the knees, and the only person we can call upon is Jesus. Because he understands what it's like to bear heavy burdens. Now, I got to thinking, okay, maybe the Lord is leading me in the direction, because we know that we have a kind of casual way of talking about Jesus being strung on a tree in crucifixion. But we notice that there's a theme about trees. Now, in Psalm 1, we read that everyone should meditate on the word and the law of God day and night. Then it says at number 3, the person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Jesus was hung on a tree. He thirsted and quenched for living water because it cannot survive without water. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, saints and aints, we are the fruit that he bear. Now, because we know that Jesus is the vine, and we are connected to that vine, we too must bear fruit. There's nothing worse than when you take a plant. And here's the irony, because I am far from being a green thumb. I am not a farmer. I'm not a planter. You leave a plant with me, and, well, you got to pray. They tell you talk to your plants. I pray over my plants because I know that they have no hope except for prayer, because they will not live for very long. But when you take a seed and you plant it, you would hope that it would flourish and it would grow and it would sprout and it would continue to grow. And when it grows and it just blooms in the best way possible, you usually want to take part of it and you want to replant it because you want to keep producing more and more plants and more flowers or whatever it is that you've planted. You don't want just one, you want lots of them. The seed was planted, and it got put into the ground and was nailed to a cross, and it stood, and living water flowed from it. And we are the fruit that need to go forth and bear more fruit. There's a saying about let your life be lived in vain. We cannot allow Jesus' death to be in vain. If you gave your life up for somebody else for a purpose and for a cause, you, I can assure you, would not want to find out long after you're gone, and your family and friends would say, I can't believe he gave up his life, or she gave up his life, or her life, and it was all in vain. Now, look at the sacrifice. We have not been perfect people, because we are born into sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus was not a sinner. He took on our sin, and he didn't have to, but he still chose to do what he did. God did not have to send this sacrifice, but he chose to, and he did. He preached the word, and he spoke so much about all of what was going to happen before and after his death. He was training up God's children. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that it should go, so when it is older, it shall not depart from it. Amen? We are the children. We know storytellers back in our own nationalities and our own cultures and our own countries where they would tell stories from way back when, and they usually get passed on, and then your grandparents tell them to you, and then your grandparents tell them, and then you learn them, and then you pass them on. One day you'll be a grandparent and you'll pass them on, and so this is no different than what God had done with Jesus. He gave us, Jesus, to not only hear the stories, but to be able to share the legacy. This is part of our legacy. We are called to bear fruit. Now, for those of you who are not sure, I'm going to quickly take a look here at Luke 13, because Jesus even speaks of a parable. It starts off at 1 and it says, now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all of the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Then he told this parable, and I need you to listen carefully. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" My. "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." The vineyard is owned by God. Jesus is the one pleading on our behalf. In this parable, we learn for 3 years it did not bear fruit. I like that. Cut it down. Why should it use up soil? My word. If you're not bearing fruit, how much longer would you want God to keep waiting on you? What if you were to be cut down and Jesus has already said, "Give it another year"? When did Jesus say, "Give it another year"? Is that year almost up? Did it bear fruit during that second chance? Will it be cut down? In Matthew 7, we learn some of the stories of what is going on in the world right now. It says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with a measure you use, it will be measured for you. When you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye, how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in my own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." I'm going to keep reading, but I just wanted to stop for just a moment. If we are not bearing fruit, we are just taking up space. No, we were set here for a purpose. Now, it says here in Matthew 7:7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more," I'm going to say that again, "how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything you do to others, what you would have them do to you, for the sums of the law and the prophets loved you so much that he gave his most prized possession to you, hung him on a tree, planted him in the ground on a cross, And he was the living water. You need to bear fruit. Matthew 7 continues and says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. We need to bear fruit before we're cut down, my Lord. Then it talks about true and false prophets. The world is full of them. It says here in Matthew 7, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, there's that word again, fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit. But a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. We need to bear fruit, or we shall be cut down. And then the next question given to us right here, what kind of fruit are we bearing? My word. And then it continues in Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers, my Lord. We need to bear fruit. Do you realize at that very last moment, while on a cross beside Jesus, the criminal recognized the Lord? He repented. He even tried to bear fruit. At that moment where he nearly died on a cross beside the Lord, because not only did he repent and ask the Lord if he could come and be with him in paradise, because he said, remember me. But if you remember our scripture that we read in Luke 23, he also tried to tell the other criminal on the other side of Jesus, do you not fear the Lord God? He made sure that he said, this is God. He doesn't deserve the punishment that we deserve. But how can you mock him? He has done nothing wrong. He boldly proclaimed who God was. He identified his sin, and he owned up to it. He repented, and he asked God to forgive him and said, remember me. I can assure you he's in heaven. It is between God and grace and mercy what happened to the other criminal. I know not what else he might have done or thought, because God knows your every thought, word, and deed. But how much more time do we really have before the tree that does not bear fruit is cut down? God gives the water and He gives the increase. But are you bearing fruit? More importantly, because none of us know the hour or the time when we will be called and life would be ending and God would call us for an eternity. If we don't have it right, where will we go? Will we burn? Or will He say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant"? Only you can decide if you want Jesus to sacrifice and give up what He gave up and suffered the way He did to be in vain, then continue to not bear fruit. And when you are cut down, well, it says that it's fit for the fire. Or will you stand like a tree planted by the water and shall not be moved and flourish and bear fruit? Jesus loved you to death. Only you can make that decision. But if you don't bear fruit, you risk being cut. I can't say it any more plainer. This is Just For Me by Donnie McClurkin.
What does the cross of Jesus mean? It's more than songs we sing. Much more than that emblem on your chain. But it means I'm free, yes, from the chains of slavery. And the blood it shed won't let my sins remain. Oh my, upon the cross my Savior died. The Lamb was crucified, showed us love that this world had never known. Oh, what love divine, so divine, true love you never find. So that we might live, love came and died alone. Hallelujah. Well, the cross will always represent the love God had. The Lord of glory had gave all on Calvary. He did it just for me. Just
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Came and did just for me. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Just for me. You died on Calvary. Oh, yes, you did. Oh, Jesus came. Did us. We're ever grateful, ever grateful. Say now, just for me. Died on Calvary. Hung you upon the tree. Oh, yes, baby.
Jesus came.
Did it just for me. Oh, just for me. Buried you in the grave. Yes. But you rose.
And he did it just for you. Remember, he said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. My, my, my. For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? It is my wish and my will, first, that I would never be cut down. It is also my wish and will that my family and friends and neighbors would never be cut down. And then it's my wish that not one of you would ever be cut down. Today is the day that we can make it right. You can repent, and then you can go forth and bear fruit. And be filled with living water and flourish. As a child, I remembered two Bible verses. And we'd always do Bible memory verses. And two of them were the easiest that I could ever remember. And today they're two of the most important. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever shall believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the day we're talking about. And the other one was Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's as simple as ABC. Admit, believe, and confess. You don't have to tell anybody. You just have to let the Lord know. Say, forgive me, Father. I ask that you forgive all my sins. I will change my way. Come into my life. I believe Jesus is the Son that you sent to die on the cross so that I would not perish but have everlasting life. I come before you and confess that I am a sinner. As long as you do these simple things, just between you and God and nobody else. He said to believe and you shall be saved. So if you've said this with me, or if you are saying this in your heart, then we want to say welcome to the family of God. If you need to contact me or need a prayer, you can find us on Facebook, Pastor J. Rouse. I'm on Twitter. I've even got email, PastorJRouse@gmail.com. But today is the day that you will flourish and not be cut down. We'll be back with our benediction. He wants it all, Forever Jones.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all. It all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate and longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. Searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today.
Jesus, he loves you more than words. He loves you more than life. And he loved you to death. Jesus loves you. and so do we. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and evermore. Amen.
I want y'all to help us do it. Lift your hands in this atmosphere and say, I am grateful.
I am grateful for the things
that you have done. Look at him and tell him,
yes,
I'm grateful.
I'm grateful for
the victory that we've won. Tell him, I could go on and on.
About your works.
Because I'm grateful.
Praise you, Lord.
Lift your hands and say, flowing from my heart.
Grateful, 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 grate
Rushing in the spirit, preparing me.